Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration. Not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to understand and integrate mindfulness and meditation into a busy modern life so that people can have the life of their dreams. So I am super excited to introduce Elizabeth Prather. Elizabeth is a mindfulness consultant and mentor who works in the area of stress and burnout with working professionals, especially executives. Now, she brings together ancient wisdom, neuroscience, and positive psychology to help clients find focus, calm, joy, purpose, and resilience to thrive in our modern world. Elizabeth has over 15 years of corporate leadership experience, including as being a vice president in a healthcare management company. Now, as a corporate executive, stress led to burnout, which led to meditation and a deep interest in the inner wisdom practices. After quitting corporate America, Elizabeth worked in the nonprofit and travel industries, incorporating meditation into her life, and for many years, dividing her time between work and immersion in meditation training and retreats. And in 2012, she completed a three-year silent meditation retreat in the high desert of Arizona. And since 2013, in addition to working with individuals, one-on-one and in small groups, Elizabeth is a leader in mindful leadership, employee engagement, and resilience programs for organizations. Well, welcome, Elizabeth. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hi, Wendy. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I just love how you're helping professionals and executives really figure out how to get out of that feeling of burnout, which affects so many people in so many different ways, but you know, it's not only at work because it comes into their personal life as well. So I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Thanks so much. I am really finally working my passion job and just really being of service. That's what I'm here to be. Looking forward to sharing.
Yeah. And you know, top of my list is always exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice?
I have to tell you, I don't have just one tipping point. So I was thinking about tipping points because I have a few of them, and they all have a thread that goes through them though, and that's the meditation. So the first one was the end of my 15-year, very successful corporate career where I was so stressed and burned out. And I had been introduced briefly to meditation. So when I quit my job, I ended up going to India and Nepal and immersing myself in meditation training for about 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And during this time, and this self-reflection, obviously a lot going on there. I wanted to
Four
do
years.
Work. Yeah. I wanted to do work that I was interested in, and I loved to travel. So at that point, I became an international tour director, and I took people on holidays in Europe and Asia. But I always had a few months off a year. So I was continuing my meditation training and practice, doing a regular meditation practice, but also doing intensive trainings. And then in 2010, as you mentioned, my next tipping point was that I had always wanted to take an even deeper dive into meditation. And so we can call it like a PhD in mind training. I did a 3-year silent meditation retreat. Wow. And during that time, I had this aha moment, you know, that I really wanted to share these practices with others in a very deep and meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And in particular, with people in the modern busy work world who have gone through that stress and burnout that I have been through as well.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to, you know, after feeling that relief, is probably kind of a neutral word compared to what it really felt to finally be done with burnout. But also, it sounds like you were just so enlightened and so inspired to want to share this with others.
Yeah, I think what's important to know is that, you know, I hear people all the time say, well, I was burned out here and I'm burned out there. And, you know, there's this, the word is kind of being thrown out a lot. Mm-hmm. And, but I think what we can all say is that there's a level of stress that we all want to be able to control. And so burnout's at the very high level and has particular attributes like exhaustion. You're cynical. You don't feel you're effective at work anymore. And it's very deep. And also the organization has some responsibility for burnout. But from a personal standpoint, there's all these levels of stressors. And what mindfulness and meditation in general can really help us do is to be able to manage our lives so that we have more focus when we want it and that we have more control over our reactions to things as we would like as well with difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense because there, you know, the ripple effect is pretty big when there's burnout happening at work. It's difficult to leave that behind. So it does have a big impact on so many different areas. Definitely. Well, so you've been working as a consultant and coach then since 2013. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. And so has your business mission or vision evolved since then?
Great question. And I think for me, it's just expanded. That would be the word that I would use because as we're during this time of COVID, mental health issues are on the rise. Mm-hmm. And so what I see is that, you know, what I'm here to do is to use my gifts and my experiences to help people tap into their own inner wisdom, to be able to learn if they need to, or be able to practice and get a bit, you know, that habit of meditation into their lives, just like exercise. Mm-hmm. And then most importantly, I think really is to integrate these mindful tips that I have. I have like this huge library of resources and tips that really are used to help us integrate these kinds of practices into the 23 plus rest of the hours of our day. And so, yeah, the expansion for me is just really acknowledging that there's a lot of anxiety, depression, and various other mental health issues that I know the kinds of services that I offer can help.
Mm, right. Yeah. Just having that broader application in terms of mental health, period. So beyond the feeling of burnout and stress. So it totally makes sense that would be kind of a pathway that you would gravitate towards as you started working with people and realizing, okay, well, this is a much bigger situation, which obviously you experience yourself firsthand.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I think what happens is that when we are immersed in the stress, it's hard to see what is that, the forest through the trees, you know, mm-hmm. It's hard to really see maybe a path, a way out. And so what I help people do is actually help create that path, you know, because there are always going to be ups and downs in life. And so when we're constantly resisting the negative or the uncertainty, it creates this block in our brain. Actually, the neuroscience of it is pretty clear that right. When you're stressed, you can't think clearly. And so what mindfulness and meditation practices will help us do is to be able to bring the calm hormones online so that we can actually make the decisions that need to be made at any certain moment, whether it's within a job, you know, do you need to, you know, go in a different direction with the work that you're, you know, the day-to-day work you're doing, or do you need to make a transition out of one job to another? I have a current client right now, and that's really what we're working on is he's been in a really good career for 15 years, but he doesn't feel like he's his purpose. You know, he's not living his purpose. So we're going to be working on, you know, getting him into like a path of finding the purpose. So yeah, it's a finding the path, the different paths, but opening our minds so that we actually have access to information. Because when we're stressed, we just don't have access to our intuition and to these deeper states of knowing that are within us. They just need to be unblocked.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. Well, have there been any, you know, big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way in building your business?
I would say the first roadblock was actually being an entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I had not realized what that meant. I just, you know, I said, this is what I'm going to do because this is my passion. This is my purpose, what I need to be doing. So learning how to be an entrepreneur, and in particular, learning marketing strategies. You know, there is so much out there. I got lost in the shiny object syndrome between, you know, doing a launch or doing this or doing that. You know, what's the best way to really, you know, get my message out to the people mm-hmm. who could resonate with what I'm offering because they're there right. and I want to be able to help them. And I would say that that's probably has been my biggest roadblock. And so I've gone, you know, practice what I preach, shall we say, and gone to mentors. So I have marketing mentors that have really helped me through that. But it's definitely still continues to be a challenge because there's just so many things to choose from mm-hmm. in the marketing arena of how to get your message out there. And with internet marketing, it seems to be changing every day.
Oh, yeah. It is pretty overwhelming when you start chasing this idea and that idea and trying this for a little while and trying that for a little while. So as you have demonstrated in your decision to be a mentor to others, it stands to reason why you would value choosing mentors to help you with these deficits that are really, you know, it's just gaining new skills. But when you do put on that entrepreneurial badge and venture out, it does turn into a whole different type of a journey than maybe we expect, right?
Yes, it was. I was not expecting that the marketing would be so, I don't want to know, is the word confusing? Like there's just so many choices. And I realized that my brain really likes, you know, kind of a consistency of how I should do something mm-hmm. and like choosing the right thing. So yeah, it's been an interesting process and it's been nice. I finally have found, you know, generally speaking, a recipe mm-hmm. that works, but also I found it also might need to be tweaked as well. Right. Cause you know, things are changing all of the time.
Right. And especially in the social media world and the various platforms that are popular right now might not be next year. And so it's just a constant evolution. So, and you know, Elizabeth, obviously you're an expert at helping executives and professionals, you know, really overcome that burnout through in-depth transformational work. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set as well. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
I would say what's interesting is that the thing that comes to mind is the client enrollment conversation, where, you know, someone has signed up for my, what I call a mindful living breakthrough session. And it has been fascinating to me because having been a corporate executive, having been an international tour director who has spoken to thousands of strangers, in the conversation that I'm having, it's like I have this block about selling myself, you know? And so what I do is I really want to just help the people. So I get lost in their stories. Oh. So I've got 30 minutes. And then I don't have enough time to actually show them how, I'm giving them all these tips. And so I want to show them how working with me can help them enhance those and even make them better, you know? And so that's where I could use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can totally understand that because you have been for years in a position where communication has just been a natural part of your role. And so it's something that you know, it sounds like you're a people person. And so getting into the story of what's going on with somebody and what their experiences are, you can really obviously connect with and relate to what they're saying. And so off before you know it, there goes that 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I would love to give you maybe some insight around how to maintain, you know, more of a structure around that conversation while keeping it, you know, conversational, if you'd like.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, so it's interesting because we do have our expertise, our zone of genius, and you obviously have gone to the full level of just immersing yourself in your expertise to the extent of, what was that, 3-year meditation where you were in a silent state, and so just really being connected and having just this heightened level of probably tuned in-ness, if that is a word. I don't know if that's a
Yeah,
word or not, but
that's a good
you're
word.
really tuned into what people are saying and feeling. And so I can see how you would just really want to, oh, well, that's an easy fix. Oh, well, here I can help you with that. Or, and so it's so tempting because it's easy for you. But when you, if you were to pull back the lens and think in terms of really what's the best for this prospective client to give them a quick tip and a technique to solve, one, to use a cliche, one tip of the iceberg, or to help them understand the breadth and depth of the things that are occurring that are really causing this state of burnout and helping them really understand the ripple effect. Like you said, I think a lot of people might simply be in a status quo. Oh, well, that's just the way it is, and they don't maybe even have that awareness like you do of how it's impacting so many aspects of their life. So if you set the intention and really have a talk with yourself before the session in terms of now, Elizabeth, how am I going to best serve this person through long-term transformational work or through a quick fix here and a technique there? And of course, your answer to yourself is going to be through long transformational work because this is deep work to be done. It is transformational. It isn't just learning a new skill set like marketing. And so when you set a firm intention ahead of the call, but before that, what I would really recommend is designing some very strategic questions that you can use as, not going to say guardrails, but something that will help you more specifically or strategically direct the conversation in a way that supports both of you. Not
I
just
love.
them in letting them talk on and on and on to a woeful listener, woeful and willful listener, who has an empathetic ear, but a construct in a constructive way. And that's what strategic questions do. It allows the conversation to be more constructive. And then it gives you more information to utilize in terms of how you can best support them. And so it's just a matter of like I said, just being more strategic and setting an intention for yourself and really looking yourself in the mirror and saying, Elizabeth, how can I best support this person through my easy quick fixes or through really deep work? And it's not like you're withholding information from them by not giving them a little fix to this and a insight about that. But it's really just owning the fact that transformation takes a long time. It takes a process. So does that make sense?
Oh, I love it. There's just so many ahas that are coming to me, and the ones that are really uppermost in mind are this idea of the intention, the strategic questions, which I have thought about, and I love that. And then you also said something about, just really looking at it from a breadth and depth, way of lens or a lens, and that I think will really help me to be able to, as I'm listening to someone, I think with the strategic questions and then with that thought process, just really being able to kind of offer an understanding of how mindfulness can help us generally. And then, of course, I can, share a tip or two there if it comes to mind for that particular client. But having people understand, like you're saying, that it's about a transformation and not about a quick fix. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Well, hopefully that'll make a difference for you in your next enrollment conversation, because the work that you do is really significant and so important. And in fact, you know, just thinking about this chapter that we've been through and are still kind of on the tail ends of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I call it a short story. It's not a long story, but you know, hopefully we're coming to the end of this short story. It's been so life-altering, career-altering. It's just really brought forward for people so much awareness, maybe, or just realization that, wow, maybe the things that I was doing, or maybe how I was feeling, or maybe the job that I had or have is just not serving me. So I'm curious, how has the pandemic impacted the work that you do?
What I have seen is that people are coming to me with more generalized anxiety and, you know, kind of depressive type of symptoms. And they're kind of enhanced. It feels like, you know, people have been trying to cope for, yes, I love talking about it as a short story. Mm-hmm. But for some people, it's feeling like an eon, mm-hmm. especially if you're at home with the kids, working at home and so on.
Right.
And so, yeah, what I share now within the kind of the COVID context is really understanding how important self-care is. I mean, it sounds so broad, but the term self-care is really, we need to understand that taking care of ourselves, and especially those of us, and it a lot of times falls to the women to take on all those extra responsibilities, whether it be at home, trying to do home at work and all of that, that we're really not understanding that unless we take care of ourselves, we can't be the best version of ourselves for others. And so really helping people through this to really, you know, as they say on the airplanes, you know, put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on the child or person next to you.
Right.
So that's really an important kind of mantra we can repeat to ourselves as we get, you know, lost and saying, I don't have time for this. And I mean, the chronic thing I hear all of the time, every single client says, I don't have time for meditation. You know, it's like everybody says they don't have time. And so what I help people understand is that you don't have a luxury to not have time, you know, whether it's meditation, yoga, other self-care types of activities. Meditation is like, as you were alluding to, it's a deeper dive into life transformation, right? And so there can be a little bit of discomfort in there, because with any kind of change, I know that when I deeply got into meditation, one of the things is that my dad died. Mm. And so just the grief of that, you know, watching how my meditation practice helped me to cope with it and then thrive on the other side, you know, has also brought me to a place where I really want to help other people with that. And with so much difficulties and death that have happened, I feel that any kind of mental practices and particularly self-care are important, so that we don't get lost in what I call the weeds of the past, you mm-hmm. know, ruminating about what was, you know, or even the weeds of the future. You know, of course, right. Sometimes we think about the past and the future, but so many of us just get lost in the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and what if, and, you know, on the other side, it'll be better. On the other side of the rainbow of COVID, when it's finished, it'll be better. And then what I've heard from so many people in the last 3 to 4 months is like, oh, well, whatever rainbow I thought, it's changed. It's a different place now. And so what's this new rainbow I'm going to try and create? And we need to be careful that we're, you know, coming from a real deep understanding of ourselves, what we want in this world, where we can find our true happiness, which I believe is deeply from within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that would be something that has, it's almost like a slippery fish. You know, you think you have a hold of it and it just jumps over there and it's still there. You know, you can't
yes.
quite catch it until you go to the root cause, which is that inner work, that deep inner work. So, well, I'm curious here, Elizabeth, how do you work with professionals and executives who want to transform their feelings of burnout and finally live lives full of peace and joy and fulfillment? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Absolutely. But I first want to say you use that analogy of the slippery fish, and that's my analogy. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. That's so cute.
That is.
So yeah, you know what I've done is I've, you know, through the time that I've been doing this, I've distilled my framework into what I call the 5 R's of transformation. And it's really simply at the hub of this, we have meditation. And then around it, we have, first of all, we need to learn how to relax. Most of us in the modern world have a really hard time just learning how to be instead of do. So right. We work on that. And then what we want to do is work on releasing. What is it that you need to release? Is it that inner critic? Is it the perfectionist? Is it you feel that all the time people are judging you, you know, thinking about, you know, what others think of you so much. So whatever it is, we look at really how mindfulness and meditation can help release whatever is we don't want. And then what we do is we restore. What is it that you're really looking for? Are you looking for confidence? Are you looking for more balance in your life? Are you looking to feel empowered? What is it that you want to restore? And then we go to recharge. So once we're restored, once we feel like we have that balance or the confidence, we actually feel recharged. And the word that most clients bring up during this process is like, I feel like I have more energy. It's like, I feel like I have more energy to, you know, do my work and to be with my kids, be with my spouse, my partner, you know, all of those things. And then, you know, the final R is just, you feel revitalized or renewed, I call it. I put those two together. Mm-hmm. And so when we're revitalized and renewed, we have that confidence, or we're more empowered at work to be able to say no. For example, the big no, that was a hard one for me. Mm-hmm. I'd say when the hardest, which is really led me to burnout, the inability to say no. We may find ourselves more effective at work in general because we're having a better ability to be in relationship with people. We understand communication better, or just, you know, having that work-life balance, or what I call integration. There's a lot of talk about there's no such thing as work-life balance anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I would invite people to understand that what we're not saying there is that you don't want to separate work and life, because that needs to happen. You need to have a balance, but we can create our own balance, but we need to make sure that we're not allowing our work and expectations of employers expecting us to be available 24/7 because we do have the phone. Right. We need to learn strategies and techniques. And with mindfulness, you really can, it helps you to have that confidence to be able to say what needs to be said in general. So that's really how I'm working with clients these days.
Yeah. It's so, I hate to say this, it's so logical, yet it's so foreign as well. to how people approach their life. And because we are in this doing state of mind, and we have learned very early in life that if you want to succeed, you do. You know, if you want to succeed at work, you know, at school, you do. If you want to succeed at work, you know, if you want to be that person that gets promoted, if you want to be that person that gets the corner office, you say, how high should I jump and when? And, you know, you lose sight of yourself, and it's easy to get into that cycle of putting the person, the individual, last on the list, because we're kind of programmed that way through our society. Yeah. And so I love the fact that you know, have simplified something that is, when you lay this out though, the 5 R's for transformation, it just makes perfect sense.
And I really want to tag along with what you were saying about how, you know, that's how I was raised, that it's like, you, in order to be successful, you have to work hard.
Yeah.
And it, you know, whatever it takes, that's what you do. I always believed that until I got deeply into meditation. And so one of the things that actually one of my last clients, who was a former executive at Apple, she had said that, you know, the reason she came to me is that she knew meditation and mindfulness were powerful, but she was afraid to bring it to work because she thought she would lose her professional edge and that people wouldn't accept her. And so through the process, what she learned and what I learned and what many of my clients learned is that you don't have to give up the desire for success or for to be a CEO. Go for it. Mm-hmm. It's that we as human beings can't stay on this treadmill that is allowed to be sustained through technology. And I'm not a negative technology person, but we have to be able to balance the technology in such a way that we can also have our lives back and then have mental strategies when we're dealing with difficult emotional states. Mindfulness helps a lot with emotional states.
Right. Yeah. Like we said, when we brought you in to this conversation, you know, the calm, the peace, the focus, you know, just that sense of being on your game through that approach versus, you know, maybe that other philosophy of the eye of the tiger and that kind of, so it's interesting. It's just really deep transformational work, and it is so needed today. And I think, you know, as consciousness is evolving, it's becoming more the norm of meditation being a part of the daily routine versus working 16, 17 hours a day. So we're evolving here.
Yes. And I can tell you, I mean, since the 25, I mean, I meditated in the closet. There's no, when I was in my corporate job, there's no way I could have told anybody I was meditating. So mm-hmm. It is it's so wonderful for someone like myself and to see how mindfulness is, you know, basically Time Magazine has special editions on mindfulness.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. It's coming out of the closet.
Yes. Yes.
Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Oh, thanks, Wendy. My website is www.theprathergroup.com. That's PRATHER group.com. And if you wait a few seconds, there's a box that'll come up and I have a very fun quiz, which is called What's Your Feminine Wisdom Archetype? And it will show you your archetype as it relates to your meditation and mindfulness practice. And then I give all kinds of, you know, tips on how to integrate that into work and such. You can grab that there. And then as we were talking about, I do have a 30-minute, what I call mindful living breakthrough session. And I have a website you can go for that. And it's call-elizabeth.com. Call-elizabeth.com. And I am big on LinkedIn, obviously, with professionals and executives I work at, but I also am on Facebook, and I have a Facebook group, and I do live group weekly meditations on Tuesdays at noon Pacific time. And that group name is Mindfulness for Professional Women. It's primarily for women. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think that's how to reach me.
Okay. You are out there, easy for people to find you. So let me see if I got all these. So the prathergroup.com is where your main website lives, right?
Yes.
And then on there'll be what I'm understanding is a little pop-up window that'll come up after a couple seconds. So we'll give the viewer the opportunity to take a fun quiz. Mm-hmm. Feminine wisdom archetype.
Yeah.
Archetype. Okay.
Yeah. What's your feminine wisdom archetype?
Archetype. Okay. Well, that sounds really interesting. And then there is the opportunity. Now, is this a free consult that you're offering? 30-minute mindfulness session?
Absolutely. Yes, it's okay. Free. Yeah, complimentary.
So, wow, that's fantastic. So that is through a different website. So that is our URL. That's call-elizabeth.com, correct?
Correct. And then you can also just contact me via the website too, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Perfect. And then they can find you on LinkedIn as well.
And Facebook.
And Facebook.
And my Facebook group, Mindfulness for Professional Women.
Mindfulness for Professional Women. That's your Facebook group on LinkedIn. Facebook group. And that's a private group, I'm assuming. They apply and are allowed in the group based on the intentions and whatnot. So that is... Yeah, that's fantastic. You are out there. I love that. The praythegroup.com is the main hub, and then finding you on Facebook group, and LinkedIn. And be sure to, if fighting and getting over burnout is a top of mind desire, then also she's offering to gift time to really just talk about possibly a game plan there, a 30-minute mindful session. So, all right. Well, Elizabeth, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
I've been there, number one. And I think there's a couple of things. Number one is that we have to just look at everything as a learning experience. That what we do so easily is that we think that every failure is us personally. So my advice is don't look at your failures as you. You know, they're not you. They're not your identity. Don't get lost in the shiny objects. Choose a few, you know, get a marketing mentor. Choose a few avenues for your marketing. Don't feel like you have to be everywhere. And then, you know, that we will be dealing with that inner critic and the self-doubt. And so whatever kinds of practices that help you, I mean, just for me, doing my daily walk, run, getting out in nature is really important to just kind of bring me into center, have me, you know, kind of really feel into that deeper confidence that, you know, I'm doing what I should be doing. I'm feeling on purpose. And sometimes, you know, meditation will help us actually, as you saw with my tipping points, you might want to change careers, right? Maybe this particular entrepreneurial venture isn't the right one. And you can find out if there's, you know, if it's time to move on to another one, or if it's time to just kind of relax into. And what I've been learning the last couple of years is just kind of relaxing into, like, you know, I'll do a launch, or I'll put something out there and I'll just let it be, just like really looking at it as this offering. I just look at whatever I'm giving as an offering. So as entrepreneurs, if we can just look at what we're giving as an offering, have the strategies in place to obviously bring in the money so that this can be our work. Those would be a few of the things that I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all great. Very, very important to really, you know, lean into every one of those that you shared. It's so important to realize that we're not alone in those feelings of you know, struggle, and that it's just part of the journey, but doesn't mean that you have to go it alone. And reaching out and choosing a support group or a mentor, or just to really help guide, because let's face it, you know, there are a lot of choices out there. Even when we go to the grocery store, there are a lot of choices. So
yes,
building a business is not anything different. And it really takes that special alignment with every step that we take that brings that sense of strength and confidence versus, this isn't quite feeling right. I don't know. Maybe I'll try something else. And before we know it, 2-3 years have passed by and and our head is still kind of spinning with what to do next. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing all those golden nuggets of wisdom. And obviously the cornerstone there is to take time to go within and to get connected with the inner wisdom. So, and you know, I have just really enjoyed hearing about your journey from your, you know, feelings of burnout firsthand, and to the point where you left your job, you resigned from obviously a very important role that you had, and went to India and Nepal for, you know, kind of a search towards mindfulness for yourself, and landed into a different career path, tour director, because you enjoyed, you know, that aspect of seeing the world, but realized that now there's still more work to be done. And so it started on that, you know, continued, I should say, that deep inner work journey that led you to that moment of inspiration where you realized that, wow, this is revolutionary. This is something that is too good to keep to myself. And dug down deep, found the courage, and now are sharing this wisdom and expertise that you have gained throughout the years through your 5 R's of transformation process and methodology. So it's just been so great, like I said, to learn about that journey and understand this great work that you're doing as a mindfulness consultant, where you're helping executives and professionals, you know, overcome their burnout and find focus, calm, joy, purpose, and resilience so they can thrive in our modern world. So I've really enjoyed our conversation, Elizabeth, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Thanks so much, Wendy. And I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been really fun. And I really, really appreciate your suggestions for my enrollment conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Elizabeth Prather through her website, and that is theprathergroup.com, T-H-E-P-R-A-T-H-E-R therrgroup.com. And look in the show notes for all of the hyperlinks that will take you to her Facebook group, her LinkedIn, the opportunity to even book a call with her. So be mindful, though, of her time. And that's very generous of you to gift that, as well as the quiz, to our listeners. So, and for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Elizabeth Prather. And as always, here's to your success.